As the Lord may be pleased to help us this evening, I would like to invite your prayerful attention to the chapter we read together, Acts chapter 12, and we'll take as our text verse 5. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The fifth verse in the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. The hymns that their dear brother Steve has chosen have blended so well with this theme of prayer. And in the chapter before us, we have such a clear opening set before us of the power of prayer. Why? Well, because all power belongs to God. And prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. As long as they live, should Christians pray, for only while they pray, they live. And so may the Lord help us as we continue in life's journey to continue in prayer. This morning we looked at how that a centurion in the 10th chapter in Acts was brought out of nature's darkness into the glorious light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ, because he prayed and God heard his prayers, and God had known what he was already doing. He was very liberal with his money, and he did so much of good works, but his good works cannot save him. His good works were the result of what God was doing in him. We cannot earn salvation. No, we can't buy it and we don't merit it. Salvation is of the Lord. And therefore, ours is to pray. What a blessing it is, and what a powerful blessing. It's a blessing that's given by God for his people, that they might learn through it that they depend upon him. Now, as the church at this crucial time in the New Testament was being formed, the Old Testament was finished, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself had come to this world. He had lived a life of perfection and then given his perfect life a ransom for many. And this ransom is that which is paid to God for the salvation of our souls. All who trust in him for salvation are debtors to God's mercy. And the glorious good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus was beginning to spread, not only to those Jewish believers, but to the Greeks and to other nations. And it was as though the word was being blessed so much. We read in the 11th chapter how that the scattering abroad by persecution that arose about Stephen, the apostles were spreading out. Persecution had spread them, and they took with them the word of God. And there was a man called Barnabas, and we read about him that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Now, whenever we see God's grace at work in the salvation of souls, it gladdens our heart. God is at work. What a wonder it is that he is mindful of us. But there were those, and there still are today in the world around us, those who would seek to destroy the work of God. But having read this evening about how God dealt with Herod, who tried to persecute the church and to, as it were, blow out the candle that's so powerfully burning, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. And what we read here in this part of God's word are three things that King Herod did. Firstly, he persecuted the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And he imprisoned Peter. He obviously thought that Peter was being very influential. It was Peter that went to the certain centurion called Cornelius, the leader of the Italian band. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He became a Christian soldier, and you may be sure that he and his household and the soldiers that served under him were all under the influence of the teaching of the gospel. We're told to let our light so shine before men, and this I'm sure Cornelius would have done. These three things that the king did: he persecuted the church, he killed James, he imprisoned Peter. But there were three things, and we see it in the context of what we read, three things that God did. Firstly, he gave a spirit of prayer when Peter was imprisoned. Also, he answered prayer, he released Peter. And we read a third thing: by his wonderful grace, the church prospered. We read, as we come to the end of that 12th chapter, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And so, may the Lord help us as we look at these points, and may we be encouraged in our trusting and depending on our Lord God in heaven above. We certainly need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer for righteousness' sake in the day in which we live. They are our brothers and sisters, and we should feel for them, and may they be blessed and be enabled to hold on their way. And may God smile upon them and make their life and their witness a blessing, even to the spreading abroad of the gospel in the days when there are those who would not only sideline it, but destroy it. God has said, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that I sent it for. Now, James, the brother of John, is given that name, that title, to distinguish him from James, the brother of Joseph. James, the brother of John, surely saw the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus when he was transfigured before the other disciples, with Peter, James, and John. And having seen that, he saw a glimpse of the state that our Lord Jesus is in now, in his eternal glory. And they would never have forgotten that. And also, he saw the agony that the Lord Jesus carried on that cruel cross. And we ever need to remember that when our dear Saviour suffered on that cross, he had shortly before taken on him the full burden of the full weight of all the sin of all who will come to trust in him. In that agony, James witnessed and saw it. And of course, he was personally sent by the Lord Jesus, having seen him after his resurrection, and that qualified James to be an apostle. An apostle is one who is personally sent by the Lord Jesus, having seen him after the resurrection. And when the last apostle, who was John, passed away and went to heaven, that was the end of the apostolic time. Now, here we see God at work. In the second epistle of Timothy, we read the account of Second Epistle of Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 12, we read these things. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And so, whether we live or whether we die, we read, we are the Lord's. And James would have been in that category of believers. Yes, they took his life, but his soul is secure in glory in the immediate presence of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. But Peter was kept in prison, and Herod had a scheme worked out whereby he thought that if he kept him in prison, then just after Easter, when Jerusalem would be filled with people visiting there, he would make an exhibition of Peter in his execution. And this would surely frighten people to even think about being a Christian. But God is not mocked. God is not mocked. We read, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God is able to work mightily. He gave a spirit of prayer. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You can imagine those early believers, day and night in prayer. I know they most likely went to work, but their heart was up to God in prayer. From when they woke in the morning, so when they went to sleep at night, and when they went to sleep at night, no doubt they dropped off to sleep with that prayer in their heart, mind and soul. Please, Lord God, appear for Peter in prison. And if he has to suffer death for his stand in the Christian faith, then, dear Lord, bless him in his own soul. Keep him near to Jesus, on whom he depends for eternal life. And what a blessing it is that we can come to the same God and seek to know our salvation secure in Christ Jesus. We sometimes sing, and it comes in the verse, whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. God doesn't begin a work and then permit his people to fall away from it. No, he which has begun a good work in you will perform it. He will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Peter was physically held in what we might call a top security prison. 4 quaternions of soldiers. So they had 4 soldiers at a time doing shifts. Altogether, there would have been 16 soldiers in charge of him. And they had to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And apparently, being a prison run by the authorities, he would have had his hands actually chained to the floor. So he couldn't get up, he couldn't walk away, he was physically held there. It's a wonderful thing that's right through the scriptures. I think one day we do well to do a study of the word but. Because so often in God's inspired word, where there's a but, there's a very profound outcome. Peter therefore was kept in prison, yes, but prayer was made. A spirit of prayer was given by God, and if God gives a spirit of prayer, God has a work to do, and these things come by prayer. We have every encouragement, dear friends, to continue in prayer. We have things in our lives that we think we might get through it, but we can seek for God to help us. And so often we come out of it better than we went into it, because God is he who is able to make all things work together for good, a combination of things, not just one thing, but a coming together of different things. And that is the strength of God in prayer. But this prayer was made without ceasing. And I understand that in the original Greek, that would have been the same sort of meaning as the agony in which our Lord Jesus prayed before he gave his life on the cross. He said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." But here, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Peter. And this was a time of unleavened bread. Herod was on a downward spiral. Satan had entered in, he had hardened his heart, and Herod thought he had power to even to oppose the God who created this world. You imagine, the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The God who put the sun and the moon in the sky. He made the stars also. And the more we think of the wonders of creation, it's more than our minds can begin to comprehend. The psalmist in Psalm 121 touches on that beautifully. He says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Now, if these people prayed with that sort of prayer in their mind, "My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth," there is no greater power than the power that created, the power that gave life and breath at the beginning of the human race. He who created the sea and all that dwells in it, the land and all the animals, and everything, he said, when he had made it, I think it's 10 times in the first chapter in the Bible, we read, and God said, and each time, and it was so. What power? And this is the power that we have when we come to our God in prayer. So this 24-hour guard and the chains, we would think, would help, would hold Peter. And how was God going to work? How could he release Peter from such human effort to control him and keep him in prison and take his life? But God, but prayer, and but also that Peter had still had a work to do for God. His work was nothing like finished. No. Prayer was made. A burden was placed on these people. They prayed without ceasing. And therefore, we should have hope, and our faith should be strengthened as we read in the scriptures these words to encourage us. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, the same night, Peter was sleeping. I thought when I was looking at this, if I knew that any day someone would come along and unshackle the chains and lead me off as an exhibition of slaughter before a lot of people, and my life was going to be taken in a very cruel manner, would I be asleep? The church were praying for Peter, and surely they would have understood that even if his life was taken, he would be in peace with his God. And this is clear to see. That same night, when Herod would have brought him forth, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So there were patrol at each section, and Peter was in the inner prison, and then his hands were chained to the floor. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. We don't need to even try to think how this could have happened. What we do know is that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And just leave it there. If these chains were designed so that he couldn't rattle them undone, so be it. God is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And if it pleased God to release him from those chains, released he would be. It was when he rose up at God's command from the angel that his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And that detail is worth thinking about. He had to put his shoes on, yes, because God still had a work for him to do. He needed his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, as we read of in the Christian armour in the Epistle to the Ephesians. So Peter was obedient to what he was told to do. "Bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." Now, one would think that all this going on would have awoken those guards. But it didn't, did it? We don't read anything about it. No, the guards might well have been so affected by the presence of the angel and the glory that shone round about him that they could have gone into a faint or whatever. We don't know. What we do know is that God was in control. And God is in control now. We don't know how some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are having to suffer in other parts of the world. Many have given their lives because they would not and could not forego their Christian life. But cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He followed the angel. And he wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter thought he was still asleep, and he was dreaming all this, but no, it was true. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. Now, Peter might have looked at this gate, an iron gate, and you may be sure it had an iron fastener on it of some sort, and that would be the top security of that part of the prison. How was this going to open? What we don't read is that either Peter or the angel put their own hand to it to push it open. What do we read? We read something rather remarkable. The iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. What a blessing. What a wonder. And we, dear friends, we come to situations in life sometimes, and when we look at it, we think, well, how are we going to get through this one? We've come into all sorts of difficulties before, and somehow we've been helped through it, and God has appeared for us, and we've had much cause to thank him. But sometimes we come to a situation and we think, how will we cope with this one? But we must always remember that God is in charge. God is in control. And an iron gate situation is no problem to our God. The iron gate which opened to them of his own accord. How it happened, we do not need to investigate or even guess. But God caused that iron gate to open and wide enough to let them through. So when you have an iron gate situation, dear friends, continue in prayer. God is able to open that iron gate. And that led to the city, which it opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. This is surely proof that the work of grace, which God is working in this situation, is under his control, and what a blessing it is that the uniting effect of prayer, and God, and prayer does have a uniting effect. Dear friend, if you go to a prayer meeting, doesn't it warm your heart sometimes when you hear the prayers of others and their hearts and their prayers seem to express our own feelings in better words than we can, and it draws us into a closer communication with God? And this, of course, is the promise given even in the Old Testament. We read in Exodus 25 about the mercy seat, which was part of the tabernacle worship, and God gave a promise. He said, I will meet with thee and commune with thee from above the mercy seat. What a blessing it is. God meets with us when we meet for prayer, and also he meets and communes with us, so that there's a blending together of heart, mind and soul and spirit in the things of the Lord Jesus. And we come in such mercy and favour today because we come to that new and living way which God himself has consecrated for us. You may be sure that prayer was still ongoing for Peter even while the angel that God sent was releasing him from the prison. Prayer was made without ceasing. They didn't know Peter was being released, did they? No. We do read those wonderful words in the prophecy of Malachi, don't we? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before them for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Prayer is God's gift. It is God who causes prayer. It is God who hears prayer. God who answers prayer. And God blesses those who pray because their hearts and souls are drawn near to him when they come in prayer. But what a deliverance this was. And what a magnified deliverance from sleeping under God's hand of care and mercy that was given to Peter. He was sleeping right up to the moment when the angel struck him on the side to wake him up. And Peter witnessed the iron gate opening of his own accord. And they went out into the street and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now Peter would have known the geography. He would have known where he was. And God's mercies are so remarkable that even when the angel had departed from him, God would have guided him to safety. What we read is, when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." You think the Pharisees and the Sadducees would not believe in the resurrection? Peter, of course, was holding forth the glorious good news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and they opposed him greatly for this. But these are things that Peter now knew. "Now I know of a surety that God has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. This Mary, it is thought, was Barnabas's sister. And therefore, Peter would well have known where she lived, and they were there that night in prayer. Peter might not have known that they were in prayer, but he knew where to go. Being let go, he went to his own company, didn't he? And there he was, knocking at the door of the gate. You can imagine a big gate where they could get things through for the household. But there would have been a door within that big gate. And Peter had seen that iron gate open to him of the gate's own accord. There was no hand put to it. but it opened. But this gate was locked on the inside, and Peter couldn't let himself in. No, he was knocking at the door. And a damsel, a young lady, came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told the others, "Peter's outside." She knew Peter's voice. She'd obviously heard him preach. She heard him pray. She would have known his voice. And therefore, she didn't need any other idea of identification. She knew it was Peter. But rather like the disciples, when they believed not for joy, when they heard of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the people inside praying said to her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. These people had been continually knocking at the door of prayer. Now, Peter is knocking at their physical door and hoping that any second someone might come and open the door. When they saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go and show these things unto James," that's the other James, "and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Where the other place was, we don't know. But we may be sure that God had given him a safe, secure place where none could find him. He was kept safe by God. And you may be sure that soon these people who were diligently praying spread word around. "Have you heard? We've just seen Peter. Where he is, we don't know. We can't find him. God's put him somewhere safe. Because if Herod's men found him, he'd be back in prison." But God knew where he was. God took care of him. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. You can imagine those guards waking up, and there's the chains, but there's no prisoner. And as they looked round the prison, they could not find him anywhere. 16 big strong soldiers, and the prisoner had gone. We can only hope that their lives were saved, because Herod only lived a day or so after this, because he went off down to we read that when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And we know that there was a great dearth, a famine coming about. And then we read Herod, although a prisoner had been gone missing under his supposed to be under his control, he arrayed himself in royal apparel and sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." What happened to this proud man? And immediately the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord released Peter from prison. Yes, but we read the angel of the Lord smote Herod because he gave not God the glory. God's glory he cannot give to another, especially one who worships idols and one who is seeking to destroy the precious church of the Lord Jesus, those who Jesus gave his life and paid the price because they are his sheep. He's bought them with his own precious blood. And where the sheep go, where do they go? Well, they follow the shepherd. Where the Lord Jesus leads, the sheep follow. They are his. He says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. Yes, and he calls his own sheep by name. Dear friends, are we those that the Lord Jesus has purchased? If we are, we belong to him. He loved us and gave himself for us. But Herod did not give God the glory. And what a painful, excruciating death he must have endured. We read he was eaten of worms, eaten alive. It makes you shudder to think of it, doesn't it? Eaten alive. And the other day I got quite a good bonfire going, burning up some rubbish, and a spark came out and hit me on my arm, and that did make me jump. Now, to think that to be destroyed physically, bit by bit, all over your body, that was a terrible death. And this is what Herod had to endure. The sad part is, we don't read anything that he repented of his sin. What we do read is, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul, that is, he who became the Apostle Paul, returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. What a wonderful but this is. We read, but prayer was made. And then we read, but despite all this persecution, the prayers were answered of those diligent people who gathered for prayer. The word of God is not bound. It can't be tied down. No, the word grew and multiplied. You've got pluses and multiplication signs all over it. It grew and multiplied. This seed sown in prepared ground is that which grows to God's praise. And with Peter, may we be able to say that God, the God of all grace, is he which has put his hand upon Peter and delivered him so that he might continue to serve the Lord God who loved him and gave himself for him. And so as we think of these things this evening, may the Lord fill our hearts with thanksgiving, because this same God is our God, in whom we trust for time and eternity too. There were three things that King Herod did. Yes, he persecuted the church, he killed James, he imprisoned Peter. But those three things that God did, there were no chains and no weapons involved. No. God gave a spirit of prayer. God released Peter. And God, by his grace, caused the church to prosper. My word, he says, shall not return to me void. It will accomplish that which I please. And so may the Lord fill our hearts with thanksgiving, because this God is our God forever and ever. Amen.